That movie's going to be good. How many of you plan to go see it? Yeah, you will not be disappointed. It is awesome. Well, I had a really good day on Friday. How was your week? Mixed, yeah? You're good, not so good, sucked. Well, it was probably the middle of last week not the middle of this last week, but I mean as if yesterday was, you know, anyhow, about a week and a half ago, in my other job, some of you might remember that I'm a constituent services director for California State Assembly, and I help people who have problems with state agencies resolve those issues is one of the things that I do. And this lady called in, she was in tears, she was a health aid worker, and this was the only skill that she was really able to do, and she loved helping elderly people. But because of prior convictions and her past record, she was denied being able to do it again because of some improvements in the whole healthcare industry under the Department of Social Services. So she called in tears, just saying, "You know, can you help me? I paid my time for what I did wrong, but that's not who I am anymore." And she was in tears, just crying for help. Is there anything you could do? And I assured her. I said, "Well, ma'am, I have some liaisons at the Department of Social Services. I will make some phone calls and I'll get back in touch with you." And she's just crying and saying, "But it's not who I am anymore. I've even had my records expunged, and I just don't understand." Again, just in tears, that because it was bringing up so much of what she once was. She goes, "Yes, I did those things, but it's not who I am." And I said, "Well, ma'am, I believe you. That's not who you are today. But let me make some phone calls, and I'll get back to you." So on Friday, after making phone calls and working on this through the week, I got news from the Department of Social Services that they reviewed her case and they have reinstated her registration. So I was like, "Yeah," you know. So I got on the phone and I called her, and she was so excited. She said, wait, I don't understand." I said, "Ma'am, you've been reinstated. Your registration is good. You can return to work." She goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I got to first give praise to my Lord and Savior. Oh, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus." And then she breaks into speaking in tongues on the phone. She's all happy. She's excited. And she goes, "Oh, you don't know what this means to me. That, you know, yes, that's who I was, but it's not who I am." And I said, "Ma'am, I believe you, that you are a new creation." I kind of slept one in there. Figured it was safe being the fact what she did, right? And it was so good to be able to share that good news with her. And it's really applicable for you and I this morning. We are no longer who we once were because we are a new creation. Amen? All right. Amen. So we are going to read from Luke, and that will tie in at the end. I promise you. we're going to read from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, and it's the story of the sower. So read along with me if you brought your Bibles. It'll also be up on the overhead. "And when a great multitude were coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and because it had no moisture, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Another seed fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he would call out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable might be. And he said, 'To you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it's in parables, in order that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those beside the road are those who've heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. And those on whom the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, well, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and who hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. We're going to look at three things this morning. I want us to look at the sower who went out to sow his seed. So we want to find out, what do we know about this sower and the seed? And then I want us to look at he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And look at what is it? What are the mysteries of the kingdom, and to whom have these things been revealed? And then finally, I want to look at the parable itself and look at the four types of soil that the seed was sown among. So the first one is the sower. Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus did not say, a sower went out to sow? He said, the sower went out to sow. So this is not your weekend backyard farmer. This is not some run-of-the-mill, ordinary farmer. This is the sower. And in fact, in the Greek language, there's a Greek word, milar. No, sorry. There's a Greek word. Focus, Ron. I'm excited because this is really, I'm excited about what I get to share with you this morning. There's, in the Greek language, the word order is used for emphasis. So the first word that is in the Greek is went out, the sowing one. Went out, the sowing one. We know from the other verse that the seed is the word of God, so the sower is God. So the sower went out. Come on. Your God does not sit on a throne removed from the circumstances of your life. God went out sowing his word. And wherever God's word comes, comes life. Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? God does not sit waiting for something to happen. Oh, gee, I wonder what's going to happen today. Oh, I better respond and act to that. Oh, this thing happened. Whoop, this popped up over here. No, your God goes out sowing seed. And I love the fact that this, it does not say, once upon a time, a sower sowed seed, all in the past tense. This is the present active participle, the sowing one. The sowing one. The one who goes about sowing seed. This is an ongoing act of your loving God. God is constantly going out and sowing the seed of his word all over the place. So there are two fixed truths that we can get from this. The first one, when God sows, he indiscriminately sows it to all people. Come on. Isn't that what it means in Romans? When it says the entire universe is displaying the glory of God. His message has gone out. Amen. Thank you. The second truth is that while God indiscriminately sows the word, the discriminate will take advantage of every opportunity. God sows expecting a crop will be the result. Therefore, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Or as the man who mentored me, because he was British, used to say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Aren't you glad Mick's not here this morning? He'd be giving me so much grief. He'd be just be out in the back. Wow, Ron. What? Just wow. By the way, both middle school and high school, they're on their retreat this weekend. They're both going to be coming home. The high school is going to come home yesterday. They're going to be making their way home today because of an upcoming storm. So would you just join me in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for our youth. Thank you for the way they've encountered you during their retreats. We pray that everything that has happened there that has been from you would be sealed in their hearts, that they would remember this good time that they've had with you and one another. And we pray that you would safely bring them home in Jesus' name. Amen. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So the second point I want to mention in this message is, what are the kingdom mysteries and to whom are they revealed? Well, first of all, mysteries in the biblical term is just things that were formerly hidden but now have been revealed. So what was formerly hidden? Jesus. All in the Old Testament, everything pointed to the day when Jesus, the very Son of God, would come and visit this planet and die to take away the sins of the world. So it's not that mysteries in terms of things like that you're not supposed to know about. They are things that were hidden in order to be revealed at the proper time. And they have been revealed. The mysteries of the kingdom, I like to say, has a name you know and a face you recognize. It's Jesus. The things that God has hidden in the past times are now revealed to us. Or another way to say it is, God does not hide things from you. He hides things for you. Do any of you ever play hide and seek as a little kid? I loved my childhood. I'm so glad I did not grow up with Game Boy and all these electronics. Now, I know that my own kids would probably question that. But I remember staying out, it was, you know, the balmy summer nights from down in L.A. I'm sorry, yeah, I do come from L.A., where we put a definite article in front of the freeways. and we would play hide and seek until the streetlights would come on. And, you know, Mom, Dad, they didn't care. They didn't worry about where we went. We could go anywhere we want, just so long as we're home by the time the streetlights came on. Any of you remember that? Woohoo! Yeah, we're all growing old together. All right. I remember we would play hide and seek, and it was so fun because people would hide, and then you got to find them. And it was so fun when you found, like, yay, I found you. Man, I thought I was hiding so good. You know, I would dress all in dark clothing, except my shiny, bright white face, you know. Bing, bing, bing. Never thought of putting camouflage paint all over it, you know. But we play hide and seek. It's so that we can be found. God doesn't hide things from you. He hides things for you. And isn't it a trip when you find something that you've been looking for? Oh, yes, I found it. It's so cool. And that's how God, that's these things that God has formerly hidden, now they're for us to be able to find. But now, how do we go about finding them? Do we do it on our own? Well, just a minute. Hang on. it says the disciples began questioning him. And then Jesus gives this kind of this cryptic response of, you know, seeing they wouldn't see and hearing they wouldn't hear. Like, well, what? What's that about? Well, you see, it's a rabbinic style of teaching that Jesus was using, where he would speak in parables to the crowds, but then the followers of that rabbi, like the disciples who followed Jesus, were then supposed to sit down and discuss with the rabbi, what did this mean? And that's how they came to understand the deeper truth. In fact, in Mark 4, verse 10, it says that his followers, along with the 12, asked him, what does this parable mean? I just got to say this about that. If ever you thought that the mysteries were only revealed to the 12 apostles, check out Mark 4, 10. His followers, along with the 12, is what it says. Who here is a follower of Jesus? Then to whom are the mysteries of the kingdom revealed? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. So to you it has been granted, is what Jesus says. Now, I love what Matthew and Mark say about this, because they add the response of Jesus. They include that he said, many prophets and righteous people desired to understand what you are coming to understand, but it was hidden from them. So what's Jesus saying? It's not by merit. If it was by merit that we got to understand these things about who Jesus is, then all the prophets, all the righteous people beforehand would have understood, but it was kept from them. So it's not based on merit. So he comes to his disciples. He comes to the people who are saying, I want to follow you, Jesus. I don't get it. I'm not sure everything it's all about. I'm not even sure, you know, how it's pretty radical, but I'm interested. I want to... If you're a follower of Jesus, to you it has been granted. Why? Because we are no longer under the age of the law. We are under the age of grace. Come on. So it's because of Jesus who came, inaugurated the age of grace, and we all are in a season of grace. As long as you draw breath, you are in a season of grace. And this season of grace is a season where our good heavenly Papa has thrown out seed to everyone on this planet. And the discriminating will say, I want to follow and understand. I want to learn more about this Jesus. And when you get alone with him, because that's what Mark 4:10 says, when they got alone with Jesus, that is where they understood the more deeper things about the kingdom. It says that Jesus left behind the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. You see, the spiritual mysteries of the kingdom cannot be understood with the natural mind. They can't be unraveled by science. They can only be revealed when we come to him and say, will you teach me? Will you help me to understand? So the pattern is this. You have and I will go through things in life. And it's not about what we go through. It's about what God wants to reveal to us as we go through those things. You see the crowds? They were thinking, hey, he fed 5,000 just the men last time. I think I want to go follow Jesus today. There might be another free meal. I love those coupon days. Hey, that was pretty cool seeing the demon coming out of that guy. I wonder if we'll see another one today. Woo-hoo! Let's go check it out. That's pretty fascinating what Jesus says. I don't really understand it, but that's fascinating. Who wants to go get fascinated today? Come on, let's go see Jesus. So the crowds are following, and as long as our eyes are focused on the material and temporal, we will miss the spiritual. God loves your questions. He does. Oh, not the why me question. That one's just self-focused and it leads to self-pity, right? How many of us have been in that same, we've been, oh, this would be a very, I won't, sorry. That was going to be really funny, but I'm monitoring. The Holy Spirit is saying, no, don't say that. You do not have a passport to go to the country of why me? But you have a passport to go everywhere else. God loves your questions. He loves it when you come to Him and say, what's going on? Why did this happen? And it's not just so that we can understand about the physical circumstance, but it's what He wants to reveal about Himself to us that we never would have understood had we not gone through that experience. Oh, now please don't listen to the lies of the enemy, because he's working overtime to make you think that God is the one who was orchestrating the circumstances that led you to this situation. No. No, that is not the goodness of your heavenly Papa. But your heavenly Papa will make sure that because of what you are going through, and as you come to Him, He's going to reveal something about who He is that you never would have been able to experience had you not gone through that. I have gone through some situations in my life, and the end result was I can now say with peaceful confidence that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is nothing, nothing that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In neither height nor depth, meaning nothing in the heavenlies, not anything in hell. Neither angels, principalities, demonic forces, not even death itself can separate me from that love. And I know it now, not just because I committed a verse to partial memory, but because I experienced it. Lord, what do you want to reveal about who you are to me that I would never otherwise never have known except through this? Every miracle is for revealing something about who Jesus is. Everyone. Oh, we're too far. Go ahead. Y'all looked on the screen. Oh, what's up there? No, go ahead, go back. We're not even there yet. So you guys thought I was almost done, right? You can just turn it off, Tommy. It's good. We do not get things handed to us on a silver platter. Why is that? Because Jesus wants to engage us. Wouldn't it, you know, sometimes we think, wouldn't it be nice to have this truth all tied up in a pretty package? Wouldn't it be nice just like, man, I would just love right here, you know, woo, you know, we read through like, now I understand everything about life. It's all good. Now I'm good to go. And that's how we want it. But Jesus understands that that's not how we learn. Jesus knows that truth discovered sticks around a lot longer. Stuff you learn in school. Stay in school, kids. Oh, they're all gone anyhow. Okay, so the stuff that you experience, the stuff that you discover is going to stick with you. And Jesus knows you can lead people to truth, but it's so important to let them discover it. You know, we're required to hunger for the kingdom. And Jesus doesn't like a know-it-all attitude, but he loves when we come to him and say, "Will you teach me?" He loves that teachable attitude. That's why he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, all of you who are just, you know, your minds are spinning and you're wearing yourself out. Will you just come? And when you learn from me, that's when you'll understand that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because I am good." The last thing I want to say about the second point of this message, about he who has ears to hear, let him hear, is that there's a Jewish understanding that hearing is linked to doing. So in the Jewish mindset, the people who were listening to Jesus speak these words, they understood to hear meant that you received it and you did something about it. I know no better way to truly discover truth than to come and hear it and then put it into action. I can easily forget what I don't put into practice. I've got journals. I've got notebooks. Holy smokes, I've been in ministry since 1978, and I've got all kinds of sermons. Whew, God have mercy on me. Because there's stuff I said before, and I go, "Oh, wow, I don't believe that now." Now that I've gone through life a little bit more, I understand that's really not what God was meaning. But you see, some of that stuff, I'll read it, and I'll go, "Well, that's a really good point. I'd forgotten it." Why? Because I wasn't putting it into practice. I have this thing with Leslyn where she'll be talking to me and telling me some fact, and I'll look at her kind of like a puppy dog, you know how they put the head sideways, and, "Did I know that?" "Yes, honey, you knew that." I guess I have selective memory recall or something. I got a small brain, you know. I'm still working on a 386 processor, and y'all are, what are they now, like quad terabyte Pentium, you know, whatever. I'm still on dial-up. "You've got mail." Hey, look. But the stuff I don't put into practice, I forget about. And that's the whole point, is Jesus is saying here, we need to live out what God has poured in. And that's why we didn't read these verses, but let me just go there right now. In verse 16, it says, "Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand." In other words, y'all got light. Y'all got truth. And it's not just for you. It's been given for you so that it can shine through you. So lift up the light. Let it shine. And he goes on to say, "For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light." Now, I used to read that and just be terrified, going, "Oh, no, the things that I have done." Now, don't get me wrong. We need to repent, and we need to live a holy life. But this verse is not about that. This verse is about what you do in secret with the Lord will become evident to all those around you. That's a whole different spin on this, right? I mean, Jesus is talking about light. He's talking about the truth. He's talking about how you've gone through a dark valley, and something about God's nature, his love for you, has impacted you, has changed you. And now you're able to stand up and shine it for others to see. And now other people can go, oh, I always thought God was mean. Now I understand. Thank you. What you earned in those secret places when you thought you were all alone became the very podium from which you now can declare, I will never be alone because he was forsaken. I never shall be. And I experienced it. Let me tell you my story. Wow! That is what this verse means. Therefore, it goes on to say, take care how you listen, forever, for whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. What? Wait, I mean, is that the scripture verse for, you know, get rich quick? Hey, you know, hey, I got some money. I'm going to get more money. And I'm going to trade this money and get a whole lot more. Hey, sorry, you don't have any money. Why don't you give that to me? Because I could use it a whole lot better than you, right? I mean, isn't that, you look at it and you go, what is this talking about? So what is it that a person has? Ears to hear. In fact, if you were to read this in the original language, it's all about the sowing one and the hearing one. So he who has ears to hear, more will be given. More will be given. When you put into action what Jesus has revealed to you, more of his character and good nature will be revealed to you. Thank you, God. All right, let's move on now to the parable. The four seeds graciously come. The seeds graciously come to four types of people. All right, let's briefly go over this. First of all, there are seeds that's cast beside the road, right? I love this. It's like John 15 when he's walking through a vineyard on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're walking through this vineyard, and Jesus begins talking about vine and the Father being the vine. I love how he just uses life. In the middle of your life, what's God speaking to you? So here he is. All these crowds of people are coming to hear Jesus. So they are trampling underfoot on their way. I mean, you can feel like Linus' little dustbin, or, you know, all the dust that, you know, comes around. Isn't it Linus? No, Pigpen. Not Linus, sorry. You know, Pigpen, you know, and there's all this dust that, you know, is kicked up. You can see this crowd coming to hear Jesus, coming to, you know, get excited about whatever he's going to do today and then go home and not be changed by it. They would have got a free meal. And so they come and they're trampling underfoot. They're not even paying attention to what God is doing among them. And again, anytime we get caught up, anytime I get caught up in putting my focus on the temporal and material, it's not that it's not important, but it's not what's vital. And what's vital is our relationship with God. What's vital is that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is good. So the issue here, Satan comes along and snatches away the truth before they even see it. Now, by the mere fact that all y'all are in here this morning, this isn't you. So elbow your neighbor and go, whew. All right, you didn't do that. So smack the person on top of the head. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. So what do I do when I'm in a situation and I see someone who is just so blinded to what God is doing in their life, that coworker that just cannot see that God is good, they're full of themselves, they're hateful, etc. I just pray. I say, Holy Spirit, would you reveal truth to them? The enemy has just blinded their eyes, and they cannot see that you are good and that you love them. Open their eyes to that. And I just pray for them, because they're loved just as much as you are loved, right? For God so loved the... Yeah. It's not God's pleasure that any should perish, but that all should come to life. That's the heart of your Papa God. All right, second one. It talks about a rocky soil. But really what this means is there is like a large rock covering the field, and there's just a thin veneer of soil on the top of it. So you can't even like turn it up and get the rocks out. It's impossible. The issue is the thinness of the soil on top of this rock. And it says there's no depth. It's dry and it's shallow. So there's two issues here. One is there's no moisture. In verse 6 it says that because there is no moisture, it withered. And I think about that and I go, wow. Two things. Jesus, you said that you would give your spirit to us so that out of our innermost being there would flow rivers of living water. So I'm understanding this to mean as I am connected into a relationship with Jesus, as I have this vital connection with him, the soil of my heart will remain moist. It will have the moisture that it needs. And the other thing is that by reading scripture, we understand that it says the word of God washes our mind from the things of this world. In other words, God wants to tinker with your thinker. The enemy wants you to think about all these things that are false and are not true. But God's word is true, and he will help wash you of those doubts, wash you of those things that are about him that just are not true. So the more we're in the word of God, and the more we're in a relationship with the word, Jesus, we will have moisture in our soil. The second thing is there's no firm root. Now, in this, there's times where sometimes we just want to add Jesus to our bag of tricks. Ron, what are you talking about? Well, sometimes if Jesus is working for us, we're good. But when Jesus isn't working for us, it's just like, I don't think I can handle this. Because what I see out of this second rocky ground, the admonition that I hear to my heart is, Ron, what is of value to you? So personally, I read this and I go, wow, am I putting value in my relationship with God? And if so, what does that look like? Because don't we tend to leave behind what we don't value, but we hold very dear what we do value? Well, probably nothing better than a little video clip to help illustrate that point.